the verse, but hope that you get dispersed. The thousands of dollars on a purse, want me to quickly get outdated if they didn't feel jaded about to burst. Honesty is cut the gears, I'm feeling insignificant. Too legit to quit and always ragging on the president. I'm hesitant, but heaven sent to bring light to the darkness. Sometimes can be discouraged, but focus on the harvest. The hardest part is to guard your heart. Can't trust in our own wisdom, cause it's tainted from the start. We fallen, we fail, miss the mark, hands were nailed. Blinded by sin, the whole world should be reading in braille. But we prevail and yet continue to live in ignorance. Always having the answers, fighting depression with stimulants. When will we as a society reach sobriety? Focusing on IEDs, but don't even know RIDs. Distracted by the bling and the rings, all these things selling our souls to accomplish all our dreams. Huh, it seems, huh, that maybe this world can't fulfill my deepest desires, but that's all you know, so still. You're running drugs, running sex, running people and think that they will fill the empty void, yet the pleasure is gone in the blink of your eyes. Don't be surprised, we all going insane. We repeat the cycle daily, and yet nothing ever changes. Sometimes we brain dead, knowing what we should do, yet ignoring it for pages of the latest self-help book. But my self-help looks like I ain't got a clue in the world my self-help shook. But it's all good, I just ignore my problems and assume I'm misunderstood. So you grind, you hustle, get to the top of your class. Make more money than others and do your best to make it last. You a king in your own mind. Death is coming and you wish that you had more time. But death waits for no man, no man. And don't care about your plans, because death is out of your hands. But that ain't the end of the story, cause there's glory to reveal. You're hungry for the truth, so I come to offer a meal. Everyone always looks to teachers, cause we gotta learn. It's your turn to follow the teacher who grades on the curve. Cause the test we all failed, but he took the penalty for all of us with three nails. Males and females, this the story that we tell. Free of charge so you can't find it in no retail. The truth to the matter is this proof on the platter. Death or life, it's time to choose the latter. Life is freely given to those willing to receive. We broke the law of God, so Jesus the Christ came to bleed. See, when you break the law, you gotta pay a fine. But God's law is so important that it will cost your life. See, we deserve to die, we deserve to rot. And it's all our fault cause we know what's calling the shots. No one deserves heaven, even on your best day. But Jesus did it all, we gotta say yes to the sensei. We do things his way and we see God on our side. When we're filled with God's spirit, depression has to hide. So more than just entertainment, you gotta learn today that you must repent, and that means that you must turn away from your evil ways, from the things that God don't want. And when you feel God's love, you will have no need to flaunt. So the choice is yours, tell me which one will you choose. Jesus has his arms wide open, we call that good news. The family of God is open to you on one condition. Surrender your heart to Jesus, cause it's time to transition.
Alright, alright, alright. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. What's up to my listening audience? This is your radio conductor, D. Smith, with 3T Radio. And I just want to thank you all for tuning in today. And I thank God for your support. I thank God for your love, your encouragement, and your prayers. Today's show is going to be awesome. I'm so excited. I'm excited all the time. But today I'm even more excited because I got two awesome brothers that's a part of today's show. And I'm about to chime them in a hot second. But I just want you all to know something about 3T Radio. You know, this is a segment of the Teen Train organization, and the whole purpose of this radio show is to tap into our young people and the parents and to create another platform for us to communicate, a forum for us to dialogue so that we can problem solve and we can equip our young people with the necessary tools so that they can be successful in life, not just, you know, professionally, but we want them to be just solid people. We want them to have good character. We want them to have good moral standards. We want them to make good sound decisions. We want them to have positive people in their lives. So that's the whole purpose of 3T Radio, just to create that opportunity to not only allow you all to hear from an expert panel, but to dial in and be a part of the conversation, because we don't have all the answers, but together we do. So I want to introduce our special guest today. You know, these two brothers, I tell you, man, words can't describe my feelings. I'm just overwhelmed right now with joy just to have both of them on the show. We got the one and only, the Dr. Shogun Walker. What's up, Doc?
What up, man?
And we got the one and only, the legendary Can't Hold Me Down, O'Brien Time Bomb Jenkins. What's up, baby?
Hey, I don't deserve all that credit, man, but I'm happy to be here.
Well, you know what? Today's topic, we're talking about show me your friends, and I'll show you your future, the power of friendship. And the reason that I got these two brothers on this show is because these are my best friends since childhood. I grew up with these brothers. You know, we all walked the hallways together in high school. We went to college. But we're going to talk about that. And what I want to do before we get into this conversation, I want to make sure that the listening audience is fully engaged and a part of what's going on. So the call-in number is 888-429-5471. Again, that call-in number is 888-429-5471. Call in anytime during the conversation. As a matter of fact, I'll probably prompt you and say, "Could we take some callers?" Or even if you're calling, don't even hesitate. Just get in, get involved in this. Parents, make sure that you get your young people to sit down and hear this and be a part of it. If you want to listen by phone, that number is 805-399-1000. Access number is 769-608-pound. And if you want to listen by internet, you can go right to the website www.teen-train.org. So what we're going to do now is we're going to get right into the nitty-gritty. Brothers, what's up with y'all? How y'all doing today, man?
Man, feeling real good. Feeling good here, man.
Good, good, good. What's up, Dr. Walker? How you doing today, bro?
I'm all good, man. I can't complain.
All right, all right. Well, look, brother, let's talk about this friendship thing, man. Let's talk about it because it's important. And this really kicked off with me, O'Brien, and Eric having a conversation over the phone. And we were just talking about friendship and how friendship for us, what it means for us and what it has done for us individually, you know, for our decision-making with our families and so on and so forth. So why don't you start out first, Dr. Walker? Why don't you talk a little bit about this thing, friendship, man? What is friendship to you, and why is friendship so important?
I don't know what it really means to me. It's just the fact that I think it's everything, you know, regardless of this friendship between, you know, same sex, like, you know, you and I, or with your wife or your girlfriend. I just think it's the most important thing in a relationship, period. So, I mean, because, again, if you're in a bad relationship with and a friend, if you're talking about, like, I don't know what that is, but anyway, I heard that beeping. But anyway, say, for instance, me and you. If you're around bad company and you associate yourself with bad company as your friend, 9 times out of 10, you're going to wind up doing some of the same things that the people you're around are doing. So if your friend is a bad seed, you're going to wind up in a bad seed as well. You may get caught up in some things. Regardless of that, you know, I'm in law enforcement, so I see a lot of times when good people get caught up in things because of who they associate themselves with, you know. So the same thing with a marriage. If your wife or your girlfriend, your significant other is not like one of your best friends, that's really a problem, you know, because there's going to be a lot of times when you venture off to be with your friends and not really with your wife or significant other that's not your friend, she can't really understand the bond you may have with your same-sex friends, you know what I'm saying? As far as me and you, when I go hang out with you, my wife has no problem with that because she understands, you know, what friendship we have and what we had since we was in high school. She never want to interfere with that. She understands that, you know. So, again, friendship is, like, to me, like the key to any relationship, really, you know, in regards to that.
Yeah, that's good stuff, Dr. Walker. You know what, O'Brien, won't you chime in and share your perspective on that? What is friendship to you, and why is this so important?
Well, I'm just gonna kind of piggyback off Dr. Walker, man. I'm gonna call him Eric because that's my guy. So I'm not gonna.
I know that's right. Well, we're not gonna be all formal.
Let me stop trying to be super professional here, but you know, I'm gonna, as far as friendship.
Okay, great.
As far as friendship for me, I mean, you know, growing up, you know, it was 11 of us. Our father was never around. He wasn't there for us. And my mother raised 11 kids by herself. And, you know, we grew up on the west side of Chicago. You guys know where we came from and everything. And honestly, I was looking for, man, I was looking, I wanted some, I wanted to be a part of the positive side. I used to watch the Brady Bunch and stuff like that on TV and say, hey, this is the way we should be able to live this way too one day.
Right.
If we want. So it comes down to choices, man. And I'm going to be honest. I made up in my mind when I was young, I said, you know what? When I get to high school, the people that I'm going to hang around, because I knew guys who went to jail, got killed, game banging and all that kind of stuff. I saw all this stuff on ice, as you guys have too. So
yeah.
I made, bottom line, it comes down to choices, because I made a choice that I'm not going to hang around those guys. I'm not going to stick to hang around them because I know that's going to bring trouble, just like what Eric said. That you know what that's going to bring. And if you hang around those guys, you're going to do the same thing they're doing. So I made up in my mind that I'm going to try to find friends who can help me in life, who can help me get to that point where if I want to live like the Brady Bunch, you know, and I had kids and everything, they can live like the Brady Bunch.
That's
what I wanted. So when I met you, Wayne, I met you in English class. You know, I noticed that you was getting all these A's. And I was getting A's too. And I was like, hold up, I'm not going to let this guy outdo me. So it became a battle, like, what you get this time? What you get? So I said, man, this is the kind of person I want to hang around. This guy's going to be something in life. And it's just like with Eric. This guy, man, Eric was like, man, he was the coolest out of all of us.
Yeah, he was.
Definitely because he knew how to balance both. Eric could be cool. He was hard, man. All the girls liked him. And he was smart. Getting all green, I didn't have that kind of focus like Eric. Eric could balance them both. Eric was just a cool guy, but my thing is, I said, man, this guy, I want to be cool too, and I want to get the grades. He's doing both. I want to hang with this guy too. So it was like I wanted to hang out with people who I felt could make me a better person, and I found that in you, Wayne, and in Eric. So that's what it came down to, a choice. I said, hey, I want to make the right decision. So anybody out there listening, hey, you got these friends. If you know they're doing the wrong things, you know your parents want the best out of you. You know you want them to do the right. You want to do the right things and please them and eventually please yourself. Hey, man, make the right choices. And you know, and that's what friendship means to me, man. Find the people who have the same common interests that you have, and go from there. You know.
Oh, Brian, that's awesome, man. You're right about Eric. He's legendary. I still need to get your autograph, Eric. And we got, we got a caller that just called in, Lorenzo Weber. What's going on, Lorenzo? Lorenzo,
hey,
can you hear me? Okay, well, he did call. Maybe we lost him, but O'Brien, you made a lot of good points, man. You talked about, you know, well, both you and Eric made a lot of good points, man. And the one thing, okay, Lorenzo, you there?
Hey, Mr. Smith, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Lorenzo? Lorenzo, we got Eric and we got O'Brien as our special guest today.
Hey,
what's
how's
up, Lorenzo?
Everybody doing?
Hey, doing real good, man. Thanks.
Yeah, Lorenzo, what's your question or comment, my brother?
What would be one of the things that you all would say is the most important characteristic a person should look for when they're selecting their friends?
Can I answer that?
Yeah, go ahead, O'Brien.
Okay, hey, Lorenzo, this is what I would say to you. The most important characteristic is a person who has integrity. I mean,
yeah,
a person, if you have integrity, I mean, honestly, and you can't, you can never detect it right away. It takes time. We know that. But a person with integrity, they're not going to put you in certain situations that you don't want to be in if they're really your friend. You know, for example, let's say you have a friend and he out there, you know, slinging rocks and selling the wrong things out there. If he's really your friend, if he's doing that, he's going to do that by himself and get in trouble by himself. If he's really your friend, he's not going to put you in a situation where you can get yourself involved in that and put yourself in a situation where you can be in jail or killed or something like that. That's integrity. I mean, hey, you make your own choices. Your friend might make those choices to do the wrong thing, but if he's really your friend, he's going to have enough integrity not to pull you into it. You understand? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Oh, that most certainly does make sense. Thank you for that.
Now, Lorenzo, why don't you share also just your experience with choosing friends and what has happened in your life as a result of a good choice or maybe a bad choice?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that I had asked the question, because I'm pretty sure as we drive the conversation, people know what to look for in friends.
Yes, sir.
Growing up myself, it's always been about trying to pick the people that agree with where you're going. So
yes,
if I'm
sir.
Trying to be the next president of the United States, I need to find like-minded individuals to hang out with.
And so sometimes
you get one apple spoiled the whole bunch, and so you have that one person that appears to have your best interest at heart, but they don't always do. And so then you find out at those pivotal moments in your life, you'll find out where those people are. So I definitely appreciate that response.
Yeah.
With all that being said, I don't think it's really one thing you look at in a person. For instance, even from a negative person, you can get something from them that can build your relationship later. For instance, O'Brien talked about somebody slinging rocks and all that stuff. See, we all came from the same neighborhood per se, but I was a little more in depth with, you know, like for instance, all my guys, not like one or two, all of my guys I grew up with was all back then what was considered Black Gangster Disciples, you know, one gang, you know. And I hung out with them because I grew up with them, like crawling with them and all that. I eventually migrated away from them, but when I was growing up, I thought I wanted to hang with them because I thought that's what I wanted to do. Not that I didn't know that I wanted to be a smart guy, because they was all smart. Let's get it correct. A lot of guys out here rapping or slinging drugs, they smart. They make a lot of money, so they smart. Don't think they some dummies. They are smart people. But what I did when I was with these guys that was doing other things, now the one guy I really want to put in perspective, his name was Eugene Baker, next-door neighbor. His father got killed in the armed forces, had a free ride to any place he wanted when he get ready to go to college. We all went to the same grammar school. His grandmother got the bright idea that she wanted him to go to a different school. She wanted him to be special, so she took him out of that school, put him to another school that wasn't that far from us, but it was in another territory when the gang started really forming in the 80s, started forming. So what happened was this guy started noticing that he walked across a certain street, which meant that he wasn't from their neighborhood. So at that point, they started harassing him, started getting after him. When they started getting after him, he started running from school. Eventually, the guys from my neighborhood started coming up there to protect him. Before you know it, he got labeled a Black Gangster Disciple. From then on, he had to fight at school. It migrated into Marshall High School, where we went to school at, and he was getting into it then. So he was a very smart guy, could have been doing the same thing we do right now, you know, getting degrees and all that, but because of the choices he made, his grandmother really put him in that situation by putting him over into the other school. And because of that, one day I was in a machine shop making some belts because he's my best friend. And my father always told me, you look out for your friends, you help your friends. So I seen him out there being surrounded by these guys. I ain't know what these guys were. I just knew they were surrounding them out there. I'm seeing it out the window. Me being a straight-A student, honor society, we all was in the same class, I ran out there to help him. He stopped me, pushed me back into the building and said, man, don't get involved. Because if you ever get involved in this, you're done. And I said, no, I want to help you because, you know, I grew up with you. He said, no, get back in there. He pushed me back in there. I thank him to this day because that could have changed my life. Because a lot of went out there and helped him, I'd have been labeled. And I have to fight my way out of school every day, and I'd have been considered a Black Gangster Disciple then. Now it's GDs or Black Gangsters or whatever they are now. But at the time, it was all one big gang, and that's what happened.
Right.
So I'm telling you, from that guy's integrity or from that guy looking out for me, that's why I'm where I am today because of this guy. So, again, I learned a lot from this guy, you know what I'm saying? I was his real friend. He stopped me from getting involved in that because I was trying to do the right thing, what I thought was the right thing. And this is what happened. So, again, you can learn a lot of things from a lot of different people. I still consider him my best friend. I ain't seen him in 100 years. But, I mean, I still consider him one of my best friends because of what he did for me. But when he seen me years later after graduating from Eastern and came down there, I was driving the BMWs and all that. He was like, man, you know what? I could have been in the same position you were in. I hate my life turned out this way. You know, I really look up to you, man. He basically was saying he wanted to be me. He wanted to trade his life for me. Because the choice I made not to participate in that stuff, you know, again, I found friends as I went along that was doing the same thing I was doing, which is, of course, Dwayne. But as we left college, Wayne stayed in college. O'Brien went to another college. I found other friends that were doing the same thing that I was doing, which our counselor at Marshall told us that. Say, hey, you're going to find people doing the same thing you're doing. The girlfriends you have in the neighborhood right now, you won't want when you graduate because you're going to want somebody doing the same thing you're doing, which means
right.
somebody with a degree, somebody with a professional career. And she was totally right. So, again, this is what you look for at that.
Man, that's now, real Eric. Good, Eric, that you said that. And you know what? And like Lorenzo was even talking about that, like Precious Faith. And I know, Brian, you're about to chime in. We got another caller that just called in. Caller, can you announce yourself?
Samantha Williams from Washington,
D.C. Hey, Samantha calling all the way from Washington, D.C. Lorenzo, where you want to go one day, right?
That's right.
Samantha, say hello to our special guests today, O'Brien and Eric.
Hello, Eric. Hi, O'Brien. How you doing? Hi,
hey.
Lorenzo.
Real good.
Good.
How's it going?
Hey, Samantha, you've heard our topic today. We're talking about show me your friends and I'll show you your future. We're talking about the power of friendship. And the beautiful thing that has happened thus far is we've heard both the positive and the negative sides. Well, we've heard, you know, that you can have a friend that may not be headed up the right road or a friend that's headed up the right road, but because they have that one common ingredient called integrity that came out that can still help
right.
navigate and shape who you are. Samantha, well, how would you like to comment on some of this?
Well, one of the things that I wanted to comment about friendship, I think a lot of people need to really look at what friendship means to them because a lot of people use the word friend very loosely. And what some people don't realize, you may think that you're a friend, but it's in fact a situational friend where you may be someone that you play, someone you may shop with, or whatever the situation may be. But the way I look at friendship is someone that I can do everything with, someone that I can trust, someone has integrity, because, you know, you have people, and when you're in, if you really want to know who your true friends are, go through a situation.
When you're at the end, if
those friends are still standing there with you, then that's your friend. That will be there no matter what, who accepts you for who you are, just as you are, and, you know, you guys get along. But you have some people who may say that you're your friend, but they're just your friend for benefit for whatever the situation may be. You may be someone who, you know, may have benefits for different things throughout the city, and they're like, oh, well, I'm going to be her friend because, you know, I get to go to this event or that event.
Yep.
But when you're going through something or you're feeling down and you need someone to talk to, they're not around. They're not available. Everybody is busy. But your friend is someone that's going to be there, that's going to ride and die with you. And I think a lot of people reevaluate friendship because everybody like, oh, that's my friend, that's my friend. I don't use friendship, the word friend, loosely. Because everyone I know is
right.
my friend.
Okay, so what do you call
them? I have a lot of situational friends.
No.
Huh?
Okay, so what do you call them? When this person that you call that, say, for instance, I agree with you 100% because I was going to piggyback off you, but just say, what do you really call them then? If you call one person your friend.
Colleague.
Another person.
Colleague.
Okay, colleague. Okay.
They're colleagues.
All right.
If you're. If
all right,
you're
supposed to be calling your associates and all that stuff.
Right, yeah. Because when I say my friend, my circle of friends is very small because, you know, when you go through things, and I went through this probably like 5 years ago when, you know, I was going through my divorce, and that's when I realized who my true friends were. And at the end, I looked up, and there was only like three people there that was at the end, and I'm like, you know what, we've been friends for X amount of years, and you have been there through everything. And you have some friends that, you know, your friends don't envy you. Your friends, you know, your friend don't envy you or compete. What they do is say,
well,
you know what, I'm really happy for you, but you know what, I want to learn to see how you got to where you are versus talking bad about you, you know, envying you or want to compete. That's not friendship.
Yep.
Well, you know what, I mean, let me just say something because I know for a fact I have that, you know what I'm saying? I know for a fact, like I know for a fact Dwayne is my true friend. O'Brien is my true friend. See, I don't really give, I mean, I know I got coworkers or whatever, but I call, I mean, I would say that's somebody my friend, but I put them in a category. I got different categories as far as my friends. So I think we're saying the same thing, just that you say you don't call people friends and not your friend. But in my case, I do. Like, I have a friend that's my friend. I think he'll look out for me. But I use them for certain, I don't say I use them, but certain situations, like, for instance, he's a partier friend. Like, if I want to go party, that's the guy. You know, I would hang out with, ride, and
die
for that.
Friend.
You know, but yep. He comes around my family. He does stuff with my family, do all that. He's a good guy. He's a good, hardworking guy, but certain things that doesn't click to make him a true, true friend. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, envy, competing against me and stuff. I see that, and a lot of people say, Eric, why you hang with that guy? I say, because I know where to put him. I know what place to put him. You see? I know what place to put certain people. And then if you say, for instance, the real test, it sounds really simple. Say you're moving. Say you got a house and you say, I'm moving. See how many of your friends will volunteer to help you.
Right. So that's the friend test right there.
They will back out on you and make up all type of excuses because they don't want to do it. I don't like moving, but I do it for my friends. But
right.
I like doing it. That's
right.
So, you know, I totally agree with you. I mean, you're right on point with that.
So,
yeah, you
have to.
You're
right. They're situational friends, yeah, because they're a friend in a situation.
Now let's look at this. For me, my perspective, I can come up with a lot of examples. But one example that the host should be chiming in right now on his own situation where true friends stood by him after years of being tormented by him.
You know what? I was about to say that, Eric. You didn't give me a chance to, but Samantha did such a wonderful job with that backdrop. That's the perfect segue. Samantha, you hit on a lot of things that's perfect. And the only reason why Eric or O'Brien could say something like that is because they know me. And you talked about those true friends, Samantha. You are so on point. You know, and Lorenzo talked about just that circle, that light, precious, you know, friendship, faith with you, hooking up with people, you know. When you go through things, you really do. You find out who people are, and you find out where they stand in your life. And like yourself, I went through some tough things. You know, I lost my parents when I was a kid, and then I went through a pretty nasty divorce. And, you know, a lot of people that stood up in the wedding or was in the audience cheering and all that good stuff, and when stuff was going down, the storm was coming, that house of cards was falling apart. Nobody,
yep,
boy.
Yep,
brother up in there, boy, crying by himself, boy. I said, oh, my goodness. And, but you know what, Samantha? That's when I really began to find out. But I'm going to tell you who was by my side. O'Brien and Eric. Them brothers was there, and it was a few others. But them and then my family, my two sisters, Dee Dee and Janine, my brother John, they were there. You know what I mean? And
right.
You know, and so you do. You begin to find out who truly, genuinely care about you and love you. And for our young listening audience, you know, we want you to really pay attention to what's being said, because there are people that you're calling your friend. And Samantha, I like how you categorized it. You said situational friends, and then Eric went on to say the same thing, but he termed it a little bit different. But he said he departmentalized them. Okay, I'm going to put you in this department, this department, but you're still a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think we have to really put that in perspective and make sure that we fully understand it, because you got to know who you can count on. You got to know who's going to bring the best out of you, and you got to know who you putting your time into, because you can't get that time back. So, you know, I really appreciate what you're saying. O'Brien, you seem like you wanted to say something. What were you about to say?
Oh, man, you guys are hitting so many good points, man. I mean, a point that Eric made about his friend Eugene, that's integrity. I mean, it don't matter what kind of and it's unfortunate that we have negative situations. That was a negative situation for Eugene, his friend. My brother, he was, now I'm going a little bit further back, Eric, as far as the game makes. My brother, he was a stole. Matter of fact, he was a foot soldier for Larry Hoover. So, I mean, I saw some of the things he did, and that was the reason why I said I'm going to make the right choices, because he made the wrong choices. But he also told me this, my brother, and this kind of go in line with what he said, what Eugene did with you when you was about to partake into the fight. He said, if I see you doing the stuff I'm doing, he said, man, I'll kill you. That's what he told me. Hey, that straightened me up. My brother was an all-state wrestler in high school. He was a big tough dude, but he made the wrong choices. He said, you better not do what I'm doing. I'm not doing it. So that was integrity on his part. That's just like Eugene pushing away. The same thing my brother Alvin did. God rest his soul, because he died doing that whole game banging thing. But anyways, and the point that Samantha made, you know, hey, you do have to be very selective, and you gotta wait to. It takes time. When that time comes about, to find out. Hey, here I am still standing strong with Wayne and Eric. Those are my guys for life until I'm dead. Because
but
I appreciate that.
I have one comment that I wanted to make, like one additional thing. When you're choosing your friends, another thing that you also have to do, and I think Eric or Brian said this earlier, you have to surround yourself with people that have as much to lose as you do.
Wow.
And have shame.
Yep.
That's real good. That's real good.
If someone does not have shame, you can forget it.
Well, so in essence, Samantha, they need to be just as invested as you are.
Exactly. Or doing better. Because that will motivate you to want to work harder. Now, everybody may look at that from a different perspective, but for me, throughout my life, I've always surrounded myself with people who are doing what I want to achieve later on in life. Or, you know, people who have motivated me, like I've had mentors, but you're on my level or doing better. I mean,
Generally
we all have different types of friends, and then, you know, you'll have some that you'll want to pick up, you know, will pull along, but they have to be willing to do the work as well. Because you can motivate people and try to encourage them, but unless they really want to do it, there's nothing you can really do.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
So you have to surround yourself with positive people that have as much to lose as you do.
Okay.
Yeah. Now,
wait, before you say that, I mean, can I just chime in? Because I think a lot of people, audience missing the background on us. Because she just said something that's very important, which she said as far as investing in people who got just as much as you got to lose. Dwayne kind of hinted on it, O'Brien kind of hinted on it, but the way we met, now, we grew up in the same neighborhood, not too far from each other, but when we went to Marshall, the common denominator was being in Marshall. We all got in the Honor Society, Principal Scholars Division together. And we seen each other throughout our freshman year. They would have the top 10 or top 20 people with honors, and we would see certain names on there, O'Brien Jenkins, Dwayne Smith, Eric Walker. And I was like, well, who is this guy right above me, Dwayne Smith, right? One semester, the next time, I might be above him. And then I'm trying to catch this other guy named Derek Jones. And then we wound up our sophomore year being in the same division together. So because we was competing against each other, we didn't even know it. It became, when we got in this class, oh, you're the guy that was above me last time. Well, you was the guy who had this. And we became friends that way, and we started competing in a positive way.
Yeah,
everybody,
that's true.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See what
I'm
saying?
I'm
glad
you brought that up, Eric.
After we went to college, we all became real tight. Went through a couple situations in college, high school, where we may have to fend ourselves off some people. And it showed real friendship then because, again, they told you that I was a little more playing both sides of the field, hang out with people, play basketball. I was more like that. But a couple times, our friend who, you know, never game banging them like that, some gang members tried to jump on him by the locker. Which me and O'Brien and Dwayne ran down to help him. And at that moment, I realized these two guys on the phone right now was my real friends because the other guy grew up with me from grammar school. So I was going to help him. And they wound up having my back. Then nothing happened. But the fact that these guys came to my aid when I was helping my friend, that helped me. We went to college. Everybody went the same thing. When I graduated, I came back home. Dwayne stayed there. Get his master's. I'm talking to him on weekends. He tell me about how hard it is to get his master's. All three of us were supposed to get our master's at the time, but I had a young child out of wedlock, so I came back home. So at the same time, I'm listening to Dwayne talk about school. I said, man, I got to go back to school. I get back in school and get my master's at the same time as Dwayne getting his master's. O'Brien went to another school. Things happened. O'Brien said, I got to finish my degree. O'Brien did his thing. So all of us was feeding off each other all the time.
That's true.
The whole time.
Exactly. So that what you said is totally true. And that's how I go.
Yeah, I like
Eric,
that. OB, you want to say something?
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Samantha and Eric, you guys are absolutely right. You hit it right on the head. It's okay to compete, but it's to Samantha's point, there should never be any jealousy. It should always be congratulatory. Anytime somebody that's your friend is doing something positive, you should be so happy. I mean, and it should never be competition. In a negative way. Like Eric said, competition in a positive way. I love it, man. I love it.
Yeah, that's real good. And you know what? Today, when you look at our young people, I want us to now try to let's shift this conversation in a sense. We want to keep it on this topic, but let's kind of let's break it down so it'll be more palatable for our young people that are listening, so they could take this and really in today's terms and today's life. Because as you all know, times have changed. I mean, we're not old, but you know, from day to day, things are different. Lorenzo, are you still there?
I most certainly am.
Okay, now Lorenzo, he may be a little bit younger than us. Lorenzo, what would be something that you would even share to some of the young people based on some of the stuff that we've been saying? You know, because like I like what Eric and OB and even Samantha was saying about, you know, you have these people around you. They may be doing some garbage stuff, but they tell you don't do it. And for us, that was cool. That worked. But today, I don't think that works because, you know, this do as I say, not as I do stuff. I don't know if that's quite the message for this younger generation when it comes to choosing their friends. Lorenzo, do you got any feedback on something like that? Because I know you working with some younger kids even now, and, you know, and you working with the college age students. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, the number one thing that we're always harping on is checking the fruit of that individual. Like, what do they really have going on, or what do they have to show for it? So if an individual is perpetrating a certain lifestyle or message, check and see what they actually have going on. So one of the general rules of thumb is this person like what you all said at the top of the class or at the bottom of the class?
Right.
So listening to that individual, and they say, hey, let's go do this, where do you really want to go? And so checking that for the first part of it.
Yeah.
And we found a lot of times it kind of helps determine whether or not you should be hanging out with this person. And we'll ask, you know, you're looking at your report card at the end of the semester. Do a 360 turnaround and look at the people that are standing around around you. And if these individuals, they say, well, are they in the same situation as you? They say, yeah, well, you need to change your circle. Change your circle.
Wow, change your circle. That's good. That's good. Now, you know what? I know myself, I got a teenager. Eric has a teenage son. I don't know if Samantha, if you got any kids. I know O'Brien got a teenager now. So our kids are coming up, and I know, I truly believe, like the scripture says, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, what these kids are saying today, we saw it, man. And for whatever reason, they seem to still think that song, Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince, that parents just don't understand. When the truth of the matter is, we not only understand, we lived it. You know what I mean? We lived it. We saw it. You know what I mean? And today, it just seems to me, to the panel, you know, and Eric and O'Brien, I want you all to speak to this, and then Samantha, Lorenzo, chime in, but why is it that our young people are attracted to such negativity with the, you know, when it comes to choosing friends? I mean, they come up and, I mean, they want to run up behind everybody that's doing stuff wrong. I mean, I'm a high school guidance counselor, man, and I see some of the smartest kids running with the worst kids. And then it's like what you all said, that law of attraction, that law of association, now their grades are dipping down, and I'm trying to intervene and talk to them about that. You know, their attendance is dropping. You know, their behavior is starting to change, but they can't see it because they're running with their friend. Well, what would be something, you know, Eric, that you would say to our young adults, our young kids, our teenagers, even the parents that are listening? What is something that maybe we could offer to them in terms of how to understand that and then help their kid to get a different perspective?
Well, you know, before I try to get into that, I think that we just live in a society that's instant gratification. It's hard to get over that of instant gratification. When we was growing up, everybody said, well, if you go to college, you do this, you'll get a good job, you'll do this, right? That's what we always thought about. You know, even if you look at the white picket fence, you get married, the white picket fence, that was our goals, you know. Even though it's an old school goal, that was our goal. Where today it's hard to tell a young kid who's looking at videos or NBA players about waiting and go through the trials and tribulations to get your master's degree, doctorate degree, law degree, and then become somebody and do all this. When they sit instantly in front of them, young people, 14 and 15, you know, me being a cop, I tell you, when I pulled up a guy for the first time, realized how life was, when I pulled up a young guy, 17 years old, and kind of like Escalade back then, and in his pocket he had over about $15,000 in cash.
Wow.
And he told me, you can have that cop. And more money than you make out here every day, you can have it. I get that back in about an hour. And he had the baddest looking girl you ever want to see, a model looking girl in the car with him. He's 17. And he had, and he's like, you do what you want. You can have the car. You want the car? He was talking to me like this. And I was respectful to him. And again, this is the type of thing that these kids are seeing. So we as parents who may have a Camry or whatever, a Jeep, we ride around in that. We think he's okay. They looking at people.
A Yugo, Eric.
Right. Coming to school with all that
they
stuff.
Got that
that, and they see that. And they want that. They want that now. They don't want to work for it. They don't want to wait and get, you know, 35 and then they go with their Cadillac Escalade. They want it now. They want all the things that come along with it, which is women, if you're a man, women and all that. So they want that now. They don't want to wait. So it's hard for us to compete against that. I know you as a social worker, counselor, me as law enforcement, I talk to these young people. A lot of them are angry. And I'm like, why y'all so angry? They're angry at everything. Like the world owes them something. And that's the difference. We didn't feel like the world owed us something. We wanted to be a part of the world. They feel like the world, you know, let them down. So they feel like everybody owed them something. Even parents. They feel like their parents owed them something. They feel everything. So that's the thing that you're really fighting against. As a whole, I ain't talking about an individual. As a whole, society is growing up now. We fight against instant gratification. And what have you done for me lately, and what can you do for me now? So that's why a lot of problems.
If Janet Jackson was to redo that song, she'd have to put that in there. Not what have you done for me lately, but what you doing today, huh?
That's good.
And you know what?
Well, I have a comment.
Go ahead, Samantha.
No, what I was saying about the young kids, I don't have any kids, but I do have brothers. I have four brothers and two sisters. Now, but a lot of young kids, the thing with them is that, one, they're too privileged. A lot of these kids nowadays are too privileged. That's the first thing. Two, it's like they have to understand themselves, and they're so lost in what they think society or what their peers think that they should be versus who they are as an individual. And you have the structure starts in the household, but then when they step out the front door, it's a whole different life on the other end of that door. And the thing is, a lot of these kids, they don't really have any goals. They're not focused. And some of these kids are not involved in too many activities. They all just want to hang out, play video games. I mean, for me growing up, we had to read. During the summers, we had to do book reports. There were so many things that were so structured. And I look at one of my youngest brother, and his circle of friends, you know, he's hanging with the wrong people. And I had a talk with him the other day. And I had to ask him, like, okay, what do you want out of life? I said, why are you acting this way? Like, you know, first of all, certain things that you do on the other side of the door, you can't do in this house. And, you know, he's so busy trying to fit in with his friends than doing the right thing. And I'm like, you know what, you have to make a choice, because you can do and want to fit in, but there's going to be a consequence at the end. So
absolutely.
But the problem with that is you're in competition. Like you said, on the other side of the door, inside your house, you're in competition with the outside of your house. You see what I'm saying? So how many hours do we spend outside the house usually wins over what's in the house, okay? And that's the difference. Again, you can say peer pressure. We all have peer pressure. We was growing up the same thing.
Right.
It's a different spin to it. Problem with that is when the lights went on with us, when the lights came on outside, you had to be in.
Yeah, that's true.
We had to go in. You know, we had certain people to stay out all night. Man, so it's still the same. Now you have kids doing the same thing. They're saying, like, okay, everybody's showing a video game. Everybody running to whatever and do whatever. So staying in the house and reading books sounds good, sounds like the right thing to do, but it's hard to impound that in the kid when they're the only one doing it and everybody else doing something else. That's why I say you're always in competition with the outside. You know?
Well, let me ask you a question.
Now, you know what, Samantha, before you make that comment, let me get O'Brien's comment, because I know he was trying to say something.
Right. I'm just itching and itching, because you guys are making some good points. To Samantha's point, you know, she's right. You know, you got to stay on top of them. And then what Eric said about the peer pressure, that's another big one. But one thing that I want you guys to chime in on a little bit is the mental capacity. That's another reason why Wayne to ask the question. That's why they lure to all that negative as well. It's their mental capacity at that age. You guys got to keep that in mind. I love you guys to chime in a little bit more on that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Now, Samantha, you
think one of the things
they still being molded.
Mm. That's good,
no,
OB.
They're
still under construction.
Okay.
One of the other things, if I was to add to it, is that challenge component.
Okay.
Individuals need to be challenged. I remember growing up, just even now, each and every day, being challenged to say that not only are you better than that, but this is the standard. It's the standard, and you have to meet it. And that's one of the things I like about, like, the STARS program and things like that. It's always hammered in from the get-go. Raise your pants, raise your standard. And that's really what it is.
Okay.
It's the bar.
That's right. The team train way.
Again, that sounds good.
It's not just a plug, but it's true.
Yeah.
But as a massive, though, that's what I'm saying. Okay, look at our minority group. Let's look at the males, okay? How many going to get... STARS, is that what you said, the name of the program or whatever?
Yeah, the STARS program. You spoke at the STARS,
Eric. How many are you really reaching? You know, listen to what I'm saying. I'm just saying any program. Like, how many are you really reaching compared to, let's say, the gangs out there? You see what I'm saying? So you'll get some of them, but as a whole is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about holistically.
Right.
What we're missing is you can say that your parents, you can have good parents. Some of these people out here that I'm talking about that's gang members or wannabe gang members, I say wannabe because they ain't really gang members. They wannabe gang members, drug dealers or whatever. They come from good homes, you know, from Chicago. They from Beverly. They from Hyde Park. They ain't from all of, what happens, though, this is the thing. You compete and you say you want to challenge them. Their challenge as a youth is to be the best at whatever it is. So if they want to sell drugs, they want to make all the money. They don't want to just be no foot soldier. So they got to try to rise up into their ranks. If they're a gang member the same way. For instance, I know you probably get short on time. The thing that really got me when I first became a cop, I had a guy, 15 years old. I used to be on blue coat. I used to ride around. I used to tell him, hey, you can't be out here. It's curfew. He's like, come on, Officer Walker, stop doing that to me. I said, dude, you can't be out here. You're going to wind up getting killed. You can't do it. He said, man, he told me this, and this really hurts me. He said, man, if I can make it to be 16,
Wow! How old was he when he said that?
15.
He was 15, so he couldn't even. Yeah,
right.
That's
he 185.
Right.
16. And guess what? Within that year, he warned him he was dead when he made 16. He made the.
Wow.
Okay.
Now you know. Now you know that right there for me. That right there. I mean, we can sound the alarm right there. Now we got another caller that just called in, and I want to pull this person into the conversation. Caller, announce yourself. Okay, we got a caller. Did we just dropped off? Okay, well, caller, call back in. The lines are still open. This is a really good dialogue that's going on, and I wanted to speak to what Eric was saying, and even what Lorenzo was talking about, too, with that whole standard piece. Eric, you're right, man. It's a lot. It's a lot more negativity. Well, you know what? I don't even want to say that there's more this than that. I just think the exposure, you know, because, you know, like you said, sometimes, you know, in the home, you're competing with what's in the street. And there's only, you know, it's only so much, but that goes back to that whole village piece of us really instilling in our young people, our children, this generation, you know, just, you know, trying to really get them to a place where they first respect themselves, and then they will respect others. I remember growing up, and me, Eric, and OB was all in the same neighborhood. We was on different blocks, and that's interesting how our lives really collided in the stairway, and in me and O'Brien's case, classroom at Marshall High School. We're in the same community, you know, drugs, violence, sex, prostitution, murder, all the stuff the kids see today was still going on then. The difference was, you know, the community was more close-knit. You know, Mr. Spring on the corner would chase my butt down the street if I walked in his grass. I couldn't dip, you know, because he saw me. Dwayne, I see you, boy, I'm going to get you. You know, I'm telling your daddy. And I'm like, man, why you got to do that? Because I knew I was getting smoked, right? And I outrun Mr. Spring because he couldn't catch me, but it wasn't over. I go upstairs thinking it's cool. He downstairs on the front porch talking to my dad. And what did that end up doing? That helped me to understand you can't beat the system, man. And then when I began to find kids who were beating the system, I knew they didn't come from the same training. They didn't have the same environment that I did. And that helped me to begin to select my friends because I saw Eric's family. Okay, yeah, actually, you know, we got a caller that just came back in. Let's pull the caller in. Caller, introduce yourself.
Hi, Dwayne. Hi, Eric.
Hey.
Hi, O'Brien.
Hey, how's it going?
That's Jindy. What's up, Jindy? Yeah, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Jindy, what's your comment or question?
Well, I was calling up, actually piggyback off of what Eric was saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Eric, all of you guys, have you seen the news with that kid that impersonates an officer? He looked like a grown man.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? That kid?
Yeah,
this is the second time he's done it.
Right.
Okay. The first time he was arrested, he was brought into our facility. I was working the unit that he was being housed on. I knew that he is a shame, but I mean, you know, sometimes you can see it in them.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about kids being like those drug dealers, they smart, they know what they're doing, and that kid sat back and all he did was observe the officers, their movements, everything they said, what they did, how they handled themselves in conflict, everything. And I was laser focused on this kid because I saw it in him. You know,
mm-hmm.
So him, I used to always lock him up when I was on the unit because I'm like, you're not going to be taking mental notes or whatever it is you're doing on my
mm-hmm.
watch. And I told him, I said, I see you. I see you. I see you. I said, and I see
mm-hmm.
right now you're not going to be rehabilitated. You're going to get out and you're going to do the same thing again
yep.
because that's
mm-hmm.
where your head is at. It didn't matter how
yep.
much we talked to him, counseled him, or whatever. It didn't matter.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Janine, let me ask you this to the kids that are listening. What would you say to them about a friend that may be that way? Because some people in their own mind, and I'm sure Lorenzo could speak to this, Samantha, I know Eric and OB can, and I personally could speak to it myself. You know, we've had people who we thought we could try to change for the better. Well, what do you say to a kid who has a friend that way, and the friend may obviously not be incarcerated, but in their mind, you know, they stuck on stupid stuff. They stuck on stinking thinking. Well, what advice would you give to a kid like that that has a friend, you know, in their circle? What would you tell that kid?
Well, here's the thing. When you are incarcerated, I mean, I felt like I was doing a bit with the kids, you know. So, that's prison talk. Anyway, when you in that environment, you see that all the time. So, yeah, there are some kids in there that actually really get the lesson. They don't want to lead a life of crime. They do understand that what they did was wrong, and they don't want that on their records because they want a chance to actually attend high school and graduate and perhaps
okay.
even go to college or trade school, you know, whatever it is they want to do. But you also have the heavyweights in there that, you know, that is their career, that they
correct.
Are going to be career criminals. That's what they
yeah.
have made their mind up to do, and that is that. But for the ones that actually do want to change, then, you know, I definitely talk to them when they need to talk. I mean, I will shut it down and listen to them. A lot of these kids, like today, when you said earlier about, like, it can't be no more the do what I say, not what I do, because you know what? You're right. We have done it already. We've done it, so there is nothing new under the sun. But us as adults, we need to realize that hey, we were once there. So if we think back to what we were thinking at that time, we come to them on that level. I'm not saying dumb yourself down to the kids' level, of course, be an adult about it, but I'm just saying so that they understand that you're not just talking. Ever.
So be relatable. So be relatable.
Actually understand what it is that they may be thinking, what it is they're trying to do, or what it is they done. Because you
okay.
know
The key thing you said is, as me being in law enforcement, you being in law enforcement, the whole correction and everything, think about this. A lot of these kids, if you listen to them, listen, that's the key that adults don't do. They don't listen, man.
Yeah, that's
right.
I listen to them. Yeah, I shut it down.
Now, I know you got to go probably in a minute, but the thing that she said that I want you to realize, she's saying the same thing I'm saying in regards to that little police officer. When people first heard that, they all laughed, like, how can a 16-year-old impersonate police? This guy was in the Explorer program. He studied this
yeah.
stuff. instead of him doing instant, he want instant gratification. He want to be a police now. He don't want to wait until he's 23 and go through the test. He want to be a police now, so that's why he do the stuff he do. He's done it here. He went in the suburbs and did it. He going to try and try. To, that's his thing. No, I don't want to wait. I want to do it now. And can't nobody stop him.
Right.
That's the thing.
And then they run, did he look 30? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he got hair and stuff all on his chin.
Man, dude was like 14 years old. Look, I swear he's 30 if he was a day.
Right.
Right.
You can see his heart beating, I'm telling you.
Right. Let me ask you something. When we think about the whole theme of the show, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And I know we've talked about just the whole, you know, we've shared what's happening and from the legal side, talked about that. We talked about how, you know, early on meeting friends and they kind of pushing you through high school, you know, just the motivation, like in the case of me, O'Brien, and Eric, we motivate each other. And I know there are others who are listening that have had similar situations, because when you connect to people, obviously there's something about them that draws you. So, you know, what I will say to our listening audience, you make sure that you know what it is. What is it that connects you to that person? What is it that's drawing you to that person? Like Lorenzo, for example. Lorenzo is a little bit younger than us, but me and Lorenzo are good friends. You know, he's a mentor. He's a mentee to me, but he mentors me too, you know, because I got that respect and that love for this young man. But obviously what I've done is I've understood that there's a connection there, and that's for any and everybody that's on the phone. When we think about the young people in our theme of the show, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. What would be the one thing, Eric, I'd like for you to share to the listening audience, and then I'm going to move it through O'Brien and anybody else that's on the phone. I'd like for you to kind of give some feedback on it. But, Eric, you start out. What would you tell them? What does that mean? Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. What does that mean to you?
Simple as you just said it. If you show me who you hang with, who you call your friend, I'll show you what your future is going to be. If you're hanging around the wrong crowd, eventually you're going to be doing the same thing they do. So eventually you're going to be caught up in it. For instance, it may not even be by choice. Say, for instance, you got a car and your other friends don't have a car, but you hang around all these guys who really don't have anything going on besides hanging on the corner. You pick them up. You drive it. You ride down the street. The police decide to racial profile you. Stop the car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in it, your guy didn't tell you they had 8 rocks in his pocket or nothing like that, correct?
Because
he was telling them. So he threw them in the car, whatever, you know, whatever. So the police grab you, and they, again, whatever's in the car by law, if it ain't in somebody's person, it's really the person, the owner. So really, if I'm the driver, I'm already caught with it. You see what I'm saying? But you know you have police out here to do other things and say, okay, it's 8 rocks, 4 of y'all, y'all getting 2 apiece. So there you go with that, or 1 apiece, whatever. He going to do something. Well, now all y'all got a record, a felony. 1 rock is a felony. Now you got felony.
Wow.
Yep. See what I'm saying? So you already messed up your life right there. Now, get expunged, and you can feel it and all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
Point being, you never want any records. Now, every time the police stop you, they're going to run their profile and say, yeah, it's with rocks before. It's some more stuff in the car again, or in somebody's pocket. It might become all y'all's again. This is the thing you got to be careful with. So you got to make sure you're around the right people. So now if you're around a lot of people that don't do stuff like that, police stop you on the racial profile, they got to let you go. Ain't nothing they can hold you on. You see what I'm saying? So that's how I'm going to show you your future by doing that. Like that.
That's good. That's good, Eric. O'Brien, give your perspective on that.
You know what? Eric kind of touched in on it, because what I was basically going to say is the decisions that you make, you know, it can be you can get the rewards or you can face the consequences. I mean, based on the decisions that you make. And early on, I said the same thing about the decisions that you make. It's very important. I mean, you don't have to listen to your parent if you don't want to. That's your choice. But it'd be wise for you to listen to them. And Eric made that point about, the parents, they don't listen. Parents should talk to their kids and get a better understanding. Not try to be their homeboy, but at the same time, talk to them so you can understand where they're coming from. It's very important. But the decisions that you make is going to determine your future.
Yeah, that's good.
That's
real good. Lorenzo, what's your perspective on that?
To put it simply, friendships, or in this case relationships, can be gateways to success or roadblocks in your life.
Mm.
They can be gateways to success. Each friendship that you possess, these individuals are supposed to be there to kind of encourage you, and they kind of really be those kind of waypoints to guide you in the right direction. Or they could be a roadblock, in which they are not your friends. And these roadblocks, and you'd be like, oh, man, I'm getting ready to go to college. Man, college ain't nothing.
Right.
And that's what they are. They're going to put that
right.
stuff, and that's the roadblock.
Right.
They're showing you the roadblock. Show me the gateway. Show me the end zone so I can get on to my life. So that's what I would say. That's how you make your friends. Show me your friends. Show me your future.
Well, you can also say, I mean, I like what you said, the last part about you saying you're going to college, and people say, your friends say, man, that's garbage, don't go there. It also could be people that really care about you can do the same thing, too. So they just really be real. It's a lot of different people in your circle. It could be
Eric, I was laughing because when Lorenzo said that, you know what I was thinking about in my life, man. My uncle told me, he said, boy, what you going to college for? Black people don't do that stuff. I'm like, dude, this is not the 40s, man. What are you talking about, man? This is 1999.
What kind of job do you want to do?
That dude told me, man, be a graveyard digger. I'm like, hold up, man. Now, brother, I'm trying to get among the living. You trying to keep me with the dead. Come on now. But you know what? I'm so glad. That's exactly what it was. Eric, it was ignorance. He was speaking out of what he knew and what he was accustomed to, or maybe those limitations in his own life. He's projecting now. And so that right there even, you know, impacts us, you know, the kids today with their friends. It goes back to what we're saying. You know, you be around somebody who may not have came outside. Like in my neighborhood, those kids that didn't come outside, they stayed up in the window and they waved, and that was their, you know, that's, you never saw what their body looked like or anything. You just saw their face from the window. Like, oh, okay. And when they came outside, they broke wild because they wasn't experienced with that out there, so they couldn't relate. So it's the same thing. You know, you got people who may not have been to college and they're not going to endorse that. So yeah, man, it's important when you think about them being an obstacle or being a role, you know, maybe that that transporter to get you to the next place. Samantha, let me ask you, you know, what does that mean to you? You know, show me your friends, I'll show you your future.
Samantha,
are you there? Okay, is Janine still there? Okay, that's all right, they gone. That's okay, she doesn't have to be there. So you know what, think about this, fellas. I know that for me, you know, and Eric said this, and O'Brien touched on it as well. You know, our friendship, and I say this to the young people when I think about the title, you know, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Hook up with people who are dreaming beyond today. Hook up with people that aspire to be more than what they even have or what they've even may have even been exposed to. Because folks like that, you know, you may say, oh, man, you dreaming. But you know what? That's the power of a dream, man. You're seeing a vision for your future.
Right.
And then people like that can encourage you. I can remember me, Eric, and OB. Man, nobody, we got accepted at all these schools when we was graduating from high school. And, you know, and this show going to be a part two, you all, because there's still so much to talk about. But you know, when you think about friendship, you know, we all got accepted at all these schools. We were the top students in our high school. And what we decided as friends was to get on a buddy system and all go to the same school. And we did that, everybody, because, you know, we had a track record of encouraging each other. You know, me and Eric and OB, we had some absolutes. Now, we had another good friend. His name was Derek Jones, who passed away. And that's a conversation piece that I think that's relative to what we're talking about, too, because he shifted and got with some different friends. But you know, for us, we have some absolutes, man. We kicked it in school. You know, we joined the organizations. You know, we had fun. We entertained. But when it was time to study, we took care of business. You know what I mean? It was, you know, we were going to study. Go ahead, OB.
But I'm going to tell you right now, like I said, I don't know how I wouldn't have made it if it weren't for you and Eric down there in college. Because, honest to God, I wouldn't have made it. So, you know, I got to let you guys know right now that I appreciate you and Eric. I appreciate you guys, man, for hanging in there with me and encouraging me to keep moving forward. Like Wayne mentioned earlier, I didn't graduate from Eastern. I went on and finished up. But that motivation always carried through my veins. It always ran through my veins, man, thinking about the encouragement that you guys gave me. So you guys are way more powerful than you think. So I thank you guys for that. And I like to say that right now, right off the top.
Well, OB, you are welcome, brother, and you inspired us, too, and that's the thing about friendship, man. When you hooking up with people, you know, you're gonna, you know, people saw the three of us, for example, and they actually had labels for us. They said Eric was a little wilder. No, I said OB was a wilder one. I don't know. Eric was the cool one. OB was a wild one. They said I was conservative. But the truth of the matter is, we was all of all three. You know what I mean? It was just, I was just as wild as OB, and I was just as cool as Eric, and Eric was just as conservative as I was, and as wild as OB, and OB was just as cool as Eric and as conservative. We were all the same, and that's what attracted each other, but we were comfortable being ourselves, too. So we were a complement to each other. And I think the thing that we were not going to do was let the other person fail. That's what we were not going to happen. And as we are getting ready to bring the show to a close, what I like to do is I like to have everybody on this show, let's give our listening audience just some takeaways, because the one thing I will say to them is set boundaries and clearly define your friendships. You know what I mean? If you know, Eric and Samantha talked about it earlier, where you departmentalize or you have situational things, define the relationship. You know what I mean? If I know this, if I want to just hang out and laugh, that's the person I'm going to call. But if I want to, you know, talk about my dreams and share my shortcomings, this one I'm going to call. So I'll say this to the young people, clearly define your relationships. You know who you hanging with. The scripture even says, know those that labor among you. Don't waste time wasting time. You know, you are valuable and you are important. So when people get your time, you've given them access to you. And that right there is your most valuable thing. That's the most valuable thing you have, yourself. So I say that to the listening audience. Make sure that you're doing that. Anybody else want to share something with them?
I just want to simply say, and I'll be brief. I want to say, just, you know, be yourself. You know, don't you shouldn't have to try to do, if you know you're doing something negative, if you're trying to do something negative or trying to buy your friends, man, that's not your friend. You know, be yourself. You shouldn't have to put any effort to be somebody's friend. You shouldn't have to. Now, the friendly competition and everything, that's great. But that you do that on your own. But be who you are. And if you guys are really friends, you're gonna stay friends. If that person really got your back, they're gonna really have your back. I mean, just be yourself. Be who you are.
That's good, OB.
Okay. I know you gotta get ready to go, but I'm gonna say two things. Number one.
Yes, go ahead, Eric.
Be real to yourself, man. That's the number one. Like basically what O'Brien said, but be real to yourself, okay? Number two, it's okay to make mistakes. That's not going to fit in your circle down the road. It's okay to have them in there, but once you realize that they're not who you want to be around or who you want in your circle, you got to get rid of them. That's the problem with people.
Yep.
They can't get rid of people that get in their circle. So once you realize that, we could say all day long that I knew O'Brien was going to turn out to be a successful person, Dwayne, all that. We really didn't know. We didn't know when we went to college what we wanted. We thought we wanted to major in certain things. We didn't know. It was okay to make the mistakes, you know. But one thing he did say is, hey, we're going to do this together. We waited for Derek, who wasn't even accepted into the same school. We took a drive down as friends, got in your car, Dwayne's. We rolled all the way down the
Chevrolet.
Storm that was like out of this world. You couldn't even see in front of you. And then we was going, got a map at the time, went down there and registered for school for Derek, and they say he can't come until January. We decided, we made a pact. We all going to wait for Derek. So we didn't go to school in August like we supposed to. We waited in January with friends for this guy to go with us and all that. And I got everybody jobs at Boarding Fools. We all was working out there making Kool-Aid and fries and stuff. We did it as friends. That's what made our bond so tight. Because our counselors, don't be surprised, even if you're a straight-A student, to go down to college and be back here your first year as a black man. 1980s.
Uh-huh.
So we said, as friends, we weren't going to let that happen. So we were going to carry each other down there, and that's what happened. So that's how it goes. So that's about the point on that.
Man, that's awesome, though, Eric, what you said, man. And that's going to be something we're going to carry that conversation over. Lorenzo, what's the takeaway you would give to the listening audience?
Oh, well, make a circle that fosters an environment of success. So make sure that you're encouraging each other, making sure that you all are just striving to be the best. And you guys, as we can see right now with Mr. Smith and all of you all, you guys did that and kind of kept each other encouraged as you guys went through college. So I think that's a takeaway for me.
I'm gonna tell you all something.
Before I say that, I love you, brother Lorenzo. I love you. I love everything you're saying.
Yes.
Everything you're saying is positive. I think with youth, though, when you talk to youth, you got to kind of be on their level. So,
yep.
For instance, what you're saying is totally true. When you break it down to youth, though, in the STARS program, whatever, I think the only way they really see that stuff is if you break it into the layman's term, stuff they
yeah.
can really understand. And when you say
yeah.
something about
the only level,
I gotta be, you got to be able to say, like, you know, basically, you know, who ain't no good for you, need to get rid of, and blah, blah. You got to break it down like that. Because everything you're saying right now is totally
I tell you this for a second. Now, I agree with you, but I tell you this really quick. What I find pride in doing is definitely bringing them up. And they start
yeah.
looking at a dictionary when I speak to them. And so their life's hard when we give them credit to. And so I'm just telling you, because I am the young man, and I completely get it. But when I get in front of them and I say, yo, 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 I'm their age. What am I bringing to them that's different? I have to let them know I can talk like a doctor because I'm going to be one. And so
right.
I'm going to get that. Cause we pay them. Ask the STARS program. They'll get it. They get it. You understand?
Yeah, that's good.
With you. I connect with you, but I'm saying with you being a little younger, I say they could connect with me, they connect with Dwayne, they could really connect with you. You know what I'm saying? You can break them down with your doctorate degree, and then you can break them down and talk to them on their level at the same time. As long as you know how to do
yeah.
that, you're great. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
You definitely got to change it up.
No, you're right. That's good stuff, man. Well, brothers, I'm going to tell you something. This right here is a powerful, powerful discussion, and we're not done with it. I'm going to definitely invite you all to come back. Hopefully we can pick it back up next week, because I'd like to kind of stay in this vein of dealing with friendship and the power of it, and then also segueing into, you know, kind of identifying your feelings, you know, why are you angry and the things that maybe kind of that anger stemming out of. So, you know, brothers, if we can probably pick back up on this and we could talk about that too, because a lot of our young people are angry and they may not understand, you know, the scripture says evil communication corrupts good manners. So, you know, they may be hanging around people that are angry, and it's making them angry, and they don't even realize that, you know, they're picking up that energy, you know, and so, you know, I'd like to really kind of open that dialogue up and begin to talk to our young people about that as well, even the parents, and just really help them to really see this thing all the way through with this power of friendship. For those that heard us today, I pray that you got something out of it. You know, I got something out of it. I learned something just from everybody that spoke today, especially our two guests today, Eric Walker and O'Brien Jenkins. Lorenzo called in. We appreciate that. Samantha all the way from Washington, D.C. called in. And then we had Janine to call in, and she talked and shared her perspective on some things. And I hope that it was a blessing to the hearer, because the whole aim and purpose is not for us to just get on here and just bump our gums and talk about what we've done, but it's to share and empower the listener through the experience, because, you know, learning comes through, you know, information, you know, teaching and associations. You know, when you one of the three, you know, when you associate with something, you learn from it. You know, people teach, share the concepts, you get that, and then obviously, you know, you're observing certain things. So we hope that people who heard us today were empowered. And so, you know, that's the thing I like to share. And as we bring this show to a close, I want to thank everybody that listened today. I want to thank the special guests that came in today. And to everybody, we want to say to you, God bless you. Have a wonderful, safe week. And we will see you next week on 3T Radio. God bless.
Dollars on a purse, told me to quickly get outdated if they feel jaded about